partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com, The Ghost Show, your original LSU podcast, Winter Edition. The postseason football wrap-up show, if you will. Last time we came to y'all was November 23rd, if memory serves me correctly. That's really not memory. I just looked at the last Skype call I was on, which is the only time I use Skype is when we do our when we record our ghost shows. And it was November 23rd. It was the week before. It was a week. It was a couple days after Ole Miss and going into a game where we all thought consensus. It was me, Pat, and Dan on that show, and I think Podcat might have chimed in a little bit on that, but we were talking about pretty much the inevitable fate that Les Miles was not going to be our football coach anymore. But, you know, here we are, Les Miles is our football coach. We had a home run hire at a defensive coordinator, which we will talk about in detail, I'm sure, in the next 45 minutes to an hour. But first and foremost, like I stated, this is The Ghost Show, the original LSU podcast, in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com. The ways to get in touch with the show is to, well, first of all, you visit the site, www.AnnaValleyShook.com, the best LSU sports blog in out there running. Podcat behind the scenes, pushing buttons, managing editor of The Ghost Show, Podcat, the creator of The Ghost Show, this five layers of flab, the Pierrepoint pimp, Cajun Billy D. Williams. He's all those things, Patrick. Patrick Morris with me somewhere else in Ponchatoula. Hey, Pat.
Hey, and somewhere else at the house. Yep.
There you go. And I think for the first time this season, from Anna Valley Shook, writer Billy Gamilla. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys.
Billy's taking a break from his guest spots on 104.5 to join us, and I appreciate you slumming it with the little people again.
So, you got to remember where you came from sometimes.
Sometimes this year they had me doing so much national stuff with SB Nation that it was like I never had my evenings were all spent doing running Facebook and Twitter for SB Nation college football. So
that's all right, man. We can all say we knew you when. So
yeah, now I could just find a full time job.
I hear you, man. Well, like I said, it's been 2 months since we graced the podcasting airwaves and. It's the same excuse I always use. We always try to get together and try to do something, and just things fall. You know, holidays come up, and you know, some of us work in retail. Patrick, myself,
yeah, you know,
and it's hard to coordinate. And podcast
still want to do shows on Christmas Day. Not mentioning podcast.
It wasn't Christmas. What was it? Literally, was it like New Year's Eve podcast?
Something like that. Together?
Podcast, we had to get you out to a bonfire on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, so you ain't trying to wrangle us up for shows and shit, man. It's all good. If we're not messing with your podcast, we're not talking, basically. So anyway, since the last show, Pat and I were convinced that Pat was ready to just wipe the slate clean. It didn't matter if we were going to go 5-7 for the next two seasons. Pat was ready for a fresh start. I was wanting a new start if we were only able to get maybe like one of two or three guys. And by all accounts, they attempted to get that guy in Jimbo Fisher, and that all failed. And so here we are. Les Miles is our football coach, and we'll continue to be our football coach, if I can quote Joe Oliva.
That sincere statement made by Joe Oliva.
So, and since that time, this, you know, LSU steamrolled Texas Tech as they should have in the what bowl was that again? Was it called the Texas Bowl? Was that it? Advocare Texas Bowl. Okay, thank you, Billy.
So at least it involved performance enhancing products.
I don't even remember what was the final score again, like 56-28 or something like that.
I think so, 56-28, something like that.
Yeah, it was a good performance. I mean, it was probably one of the biggest mismatches in a bowl season. If you look at all the matchups, you know, the bigger matchups, the Power Five matchups, if you will, probably the biggest mismatch. Leonard Fournette didn't run for 400 yards like a lot of people were predicting. I would have liked to have seen him get to 2,000, but that he fell a few yards short of that, well, about 30, I think. But,
overall, you reach that point where it's like, do we really need, if he gets hurt on that carry, you know, then it was stupid.
I mean, it's pointless. I mean, it's not really, it's just to say you did it, but
They're going to put an asterisk by it anyway. We didn't play the first game.
That's true.
He led the nation in yards per game.
Yes, he did. And he's coming back, and Lewis Neal was coming back, which is big, and Gerald Hawkins is declaring, which usually you'll see an underclassman lineman, a tackle who's a projected first round pick. He's going to go 9 times out of 10. I mean, so that wasn't too much of a surprise. Lewis Neal coming back is huge, and now Dre White said he's coming back, and the last chip in all this is Kendall Beckwith, and the rumor mill is out there saying he's coming back, which is again huge for a new defensive coordinator who likes to do things with linebackers. Having the best one come back for his senior year is would be pretty awesome. Would be pretty beneficial to Dave Aranda in his first season as LSU football coach.
That's the thinnest spot on the field too. You really need it.
Exactly. Yeah, the depth. Yeah.
Assuming that he and White do come back, I think that's 18 starters on offense and defense. I think that's the most LSU's ever had back under Les Miles.
No kidding. I mean, that's an impressive number.
The 2017 was close. Was like around 16 or 17. I think this beats that.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, every year you got to try and reload. You don't know what you're going to get. Finally, you got something coming back. It's kind of like that whole Kentucky basketball scenario. Eventually, it's going to catch up with them with one and dones, and it's catching up this year.
Billy, do you foresee any changes offensively? Frank Wilson left to take that Texas. What was it? Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, UT. Yeah. San Antonio.
Okay, so he's gone. He's gone. And I know Cam Cameron's contract, I think, comes up, what, March, April?
Somewhere around there. I expect that to get extended. I mean, who knows? He may decide he wants to go back to the NFL or something like that where he doesn't have to worry about recruiting.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, because NFL teams are still – they're not going to fill out their staffs until a couple weeks after the Super Bowl. So that I guess that could still happen, but I expect him back.
Okay.
Other changes, I think, wouldn't come until after signing day. You know, somebody else might move on, but too many guys. I mean, like Bradley Del Pivito, I know a lot of people would like to leave, but he's
recruiting coordinator.
He's most of a big chunk out of this class for guys that he's been really involved with. So he wouldn't go anywhere until they were signed and taken care of.
Yeah, and then the other big recruiter going to take a head coaching job now. I think it's essential to keep a guy like Pivito who's so big in recruiting.
But you wonder if they could just switch roles for him as far as what he's doing out there on the field. You know, he goes to, okay, main recruiter, and let's just say, like, I mean, move him to – I know he's friends with Les Miles, very tight and all that other stuff. Maybe move him to, like, a more of an administrative role with the team or a coordinator type or not a – I'm not talking about offense, defense, or special teams, but something within the team to coordinate things and make sure everything's on time, things like that, and then find somebody else for special teams.
Well, yeah. I know he didn't – this year he didn't quite get, I think, to do as much with special teams as you would think he would with the title, and they had to use – because he was basically also the linebackers coach, because Steele kind of did a little bit of everything running the defense. It wasn't like with Chavis where, you know, Chavis basically stuck with the linebackers all practice. You know, Steele kind of moved around, so Pivito had to work with the linebackers and do special teams. I don't know I'm not sure what Aranda's going to do. If Aranda's going to, you know, kind of be more like Chavis and work with one position – exclusively, or if he's going to float and use Pivito as a linebackers coach. He's actually a pretty good linebackers coach, but you know, we'll see. That's all. That's the defense might actually be more interesting to watch this spring than the offense.
True. Yeah, you can see a lot of changes there. You're going to go to a different scheme, but you know, you still got a hefty offensive line. But Kerry, you and I were talking about this yesterday about you know, given the fact he goes to a 3-4 scheme, you know, but that Arden Key, we think anyway, as per our conversation, is going to be that swing guy.
Probably so. Yeah, I mean the way that Steele's defense worked, it was basically if you would have just stood Key up, you know, like I said, you squint a little bit, stand Key up, and it looks like a 3-4.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I think I don't think it's going to be a huge transition, and Aranda himself has said he's going to kind of make a decision on whether it's, you know, 40 front, 30 front, whatever, kind of based on, you know, what he sees when he starts breaking things down. And I like that. Be flexible. Try and, you know, fit what you want to do to what you have. And you can always change it as guys develop, you know.
Well, maybe he can instill some of that in Miles this year. And, you know, don't try and put that, no matter what, put a square peg in a round hole. And is this the way it's going to be? You know, let's shave it down a little bit and make it work.
Yeah, that's always the catch, though. But we'll we'll see. Like I said last night, Pat, we'll go back. We get the good defensive coordinator. We'll go back to, you know, not 2009, 2010. We'll just win games 17-12, things like that. But you know, there's too much, a lot of talent coming back on offense. So, and
finding out that Harris was playing with a sports hernia at the end of the season, that's a big. I mean, you don't want to say that was everything and why he struggled, but that's pretty significant. He was probably in a lot of pain every time he threw, and that's really what happened. Was all of a sudden he just couldn't hit open receivers. You know, they were. It was one of those, you know, play calling. I watching the A&M game. I remember in my review thinking like, no, they're calling good plays. They're catching A&M. You know, they're catching A&M off guard. They're getting guys open, and just the balls.
It's just all
going on. Yeah, just not.
But you could tell he had a little bit of rest for the bowl game. You know, just enough. He was a little sharper in that bowl game.
Mm-hmm. The bowl game was really weird because it was one of those things where he missed a couple passes in a row, and I remember thinking, God, Harris is terrible tonight, and he was 8-for-11, so it wasn't like he was really bad. He just he missed a couple of really bad throws. But then when, you know, Jefferson made that interception, they came out and they threw three straight passes. Harris completed them, and that was it, and then they were off to the races, you know?
Yeah, I guess it gets magnified a little bit when you only throw the ball 11 to 15 times. You know, you miss a couple throws, it seems like it's, you know, 7 or 8 or 9. But, you know, when you're only throwing 15, you miss a couple. It seems a little bit magnified a little bit. And to your point, Billy, talking about the play call, and I really wasn't all that upset. You're right with the play call and at times a lot this year. It was some thing. The biggest issue coming out of the three-game stretch was just the unpreparedness of what the team looked like, especially at home against Arkansas, falling down 21-0 like that in the first half.
Well, that was the game where I think a lot of people got what they thought they wanted in terms of they came out and tried to spread the field a lot more, and just if you can't hit the passes, it doesn't matter, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, let me ask you something. I want to get your opinion on this, Billy. Me and Pat talked about this the week after the Alabama game. Do you think it's time to go ahead and just do away with the bye week before Alabama, just move it somewhere else? Because it doesn't seem to help.
There definitely needs to be a less of an you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I do think that in general, one thing that Miles gets right is, and that Saban gets wrong, is, look, this is a big game. We're not going to try and make it out like it's not a big game. You know, let's just play, you know, kind of steer into the skid a little bit and admit what it is. But I do think that there's – and this is not – you know, this is something that I think everybody has to do in this town, like fans, everybody. Don't worry about Alabama so much. Just worry about LSU, getting LSU right and doing those things right, and let that fall into place. You know, if you obsess about Alabama, I think we've seen, you know, 2 years in a row we've let them beat us twice, but you know, following them up with Arkansas and just kind of being flat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
move the bye week, or you know, it's hard to say that's exactly the problem, because Lord knows they picked their bye week that week too,
right?
You know, but. It's something, whether it's moving the bye week or.
Yeah, I just think there's too much.
Can't be the end of the
like,
world.
Like you're talking about. Yeah, there's too much emphasis on that game. And it's just, you don't want it to turn into a situation year in and year out where if you don't beat Alabama, that's
the season's over. Right. That's the problem. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because they were just, they didn't look prepared against Alabama. I mean, it's, you know, you put it to the fact that you saw the way Alabama's played since that Ole Miss game and what they've done all season, and, you know, the way they just destroyed Michigan State in the first playoff game, and then, you know,
they're just too good. I think people don't want to acknowledge that Alabama has recruited better than everybody. They keep their guys for 4 years. You know, they, if they play their best game, LSU's not, like, no one's going to stay on the field with them. You know, I mean, you saw it against Clemson. Clemson had their shot. They're up three. They get the ball at midfield, and they go three and out. And then in the fourth quarter, Alabama just takes over because they just keep rolling more and more guys. And you're just going to run out of gas.
And you know that, you know their defense is going to be. They're not going to skip too much of a beat losing Kirby Smart, in my opinion. We all know who runs their defense.
I mean, they've got so many players that
it's what they do offensively that makes them just the great team, really, that they are. The way, and I hate to give credit to Lane Kiffin because we all, you know, nobody has any love for Lane Kiffin pretty much anywhere. Except probably in Alabama now, and I guarantee they didn't like him before they hired him. And the way he just utilizes their quarterbacks, he did it with Sims last year. He's done it with Koga this year. It's just he puts them in situations that are so comfortable. And at the same time, they're also making the plays that Harris is not making at times. So, you know, chalk it up to whatever you will. But and that just adds on when you can compliment a powerful running game with a good offensive line into the throws that they make. It's what LSU should be doing, but LSU just can't. LSU can never parlay the good runs with a good complementary passing game. And I think, and that's where LSU is failing, whether it's the talent of the position or the coaching. You know, I think it's, you know, I think it's 50-50 possibly. But that's where LSU is lacking. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's the same question every year. What's LSU going to get at the quarterback?
You run into, you know, teams that I think you run into Alabama, a team that's just better and better at the points where they need to be better. Like, that's also that. It's like, it's not just that they're better. They're better at the line of scrimmage. They're older at the line of scrimmage. I think that was a big deal. You know, LSU had two freshman guards going up against A'shaun Robinson and Jaron Reed and all those guys who just have numbers. It's just this horde of bodies you have to deal with. You know, I mean, there was the great shot at the end of the game this year where LSU's subbing out and Alabama's got like 20 guys on the field, you know, waiting to see who's going to go in, who's not going to go in. No one else can roll out that many guys, and just the second guy is, you know, just as good as the first guy, like that. Mm-hmm. And the third guy, so on down the line. You know, and that, like I said, just talent makes scheme. You know, at the end of the day, you get a guy like Calvin Ridley, who's a freshman, who is 6 months younger than Amari Cooper, and he's a freshman in college.
Yeah, right.
You know,
so
well, hopefully. Hopefully we are making up some headway with our recruiting this year. So, you know, and by all accounts, other than a few positions where we really need to concentrate on, it seems like we're getting, or at least up there, you know, this year. Maybe we can make a little headway.
Yeah, between Aranda and you know, close well in recruiting, especially if they can find a quarterback, then that's, you know, at least at the minimum, it'll be a top three class. It could end up being the number one class, and that's just some good momentum going forward. And then you just focus on, you know, getting guys healthy, getting through the spring, you know, wrap Leonard Fournette in the lap, and, you know, move forward. Got some good energy flowing through the program right now. Just try and keep that momentum.
Yeah, and that, winning that's the biggest key.
Always helps. It really does.
Yeah,
it just gets everybody in a better mood.
It puts everybody in a better mood going to them. I mean, you know, and I knew this as mad as I was after the Arkansas game and after the Ole Miss game, and you sit back and you look at it and you say, especially when I think back to our preseason talk, which we did right here in my garage, was, you know, we'll probably go 8-3-ish. We'll probably win somewhere we're not expected to win. And we'll probably lose somewhere we shouldn't lose. And that was Arkansas. And a win at the time was, I guess, probably Auburn. But Auburn ended up being just completely a trail.
Well, Florida. You beat a really good Florida team. I mean, that's a win LSU can be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And then going on the road to Starkville after having the first game canceled and jumping out like they did. And then withstanding the rally from Mississippi State. And getting out of there with a victory—that's big—and they just, I mean, it's just that stretch in November where the LSU football team used to be so good, it's just hurt us in the last few years, and that's just something that needs to be corrected. I think if we win that game against Arkansas and then, you know, we lose Alabama and Ole Miss and we're 9-2, I think everybody's pretty much okay. It's just
you're in the Sugar Bowl, most likely.
Yeah.
You might have been a step underneath it.
I just hate to say it. I hate playing Arkansas at that time. I mean, it's like a nemesis. You know, we just can't. They're geared up for that game to no end. We're just always
coming
off flat.
For whatever reason, they take that game super, super seriously. And LSU, and never has. Like, going back to DiNardo, just never gotten as geeked up for that game as I do the other games.
You know, we said that when we talked to the guests we had on from Arkansas that week. Remember, they were just that is their game. They're geared up.
Oh yeah, I wrote a piece for SB Nation about the boot and kind of like, you know, it's a rivalry trophy, and like most LSU fans are like, we don't really care about it. Y'all can keep it. And Arkansas fans very quickly were like, no, this is a big deal. We want to have the boot. And like,
yeah.
Okay, I joked with the Arkansas Fight guys. I was like, y'all can keep it, like, whatever. So you can say it fell off a truck. We don't care. Like,
yeah, and that's
like we beat y'all. We don't care. Y'all can keep it.
So what LSU needs to do is balance out the way that they put Alabama on a pedestal and the way they diminish the Arkansas game and just find that balance between those two, and so somehow, you know, split those games in the future, not lose both, you know. So
just get better and just keep moving forward, you know, develop a little bit. I do think it's worth saying that, you know, every good quarterback LSU's had under Miles was at least a third year guy. So, you know, Harrison's third year could be set up to take a step forward. And, you know, he was kind of a lot like Mettenberger in year one. You know, real inconsistent, kind of up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go back and look at Mettenberger's stats his first year. His first year starting was, I think, 12 touchdowns, and I think only 12 touchdowns and like maybe 7 or 8 interceptions, something like that.
Somewhere around.
Yeah, it was, and then the following year, of course, with him and Landry and Beckham, I think he had like 20-something touchdowns. And so, you know, you got Fournette there again. You got Geis. You got the pieces in place. It's up to Harris to put in the work. To continue putting in the work and then making the throws in the games that he needs to make. And that's what it boils down to. I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Yeah, just continue to develop.
I mean, I think you look back at it, and I think the way LSU kind of started out, you know, it was a little bit surprising that, you know, we go into Alabama and we're ranked 2 in a playoff thing. But then
Brett Harris was the highest rated quarterback in the SEC going into that
game. And then, so you think, okay, we can go into Alabama and win, and you're just kind of fooling yourselves, but you at least want to look competitive, you know, in doing so, and we just don't, you know, and that's, I think that needs
it. It all turned when he threw that interception, you know. He rolls out wide open tight end. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been like a big play, but he would have gained 3 or 4 yards on first down, and he just airmails it to a linebacker,
right,
and that was it.
Yeah. That was coming out right in the first play of the second half, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and first one, the second half.
Put them up 2 scores, and then that's it. Like, once they've got you down, you have to kind of – you need them to screw up, and if they don't screw up – I mean, you saw it against – you know, you hate to say that, well, they beat themselves, but they turned the ball over 5 times against Ole Miss, and Ole Miss still needed, you know, a fluky bounce touchdown
– to win.
To win the game, because they're just better than everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we got to bring ourselves – you kind of said a little while ago, we got to bring ourselves down a little bit against Alabama. You know, Alabama approaches it more of a business-like approach, whereas LSU, it's all about emotion for that game. And that's a coaching difference. That's where you see your coaching difference. I mean, it is a big game, don't get me wrong, but you've got to come on an even keel. But same thing against Arkansas. You've got to approach that the same way you're approaching Alabama. It's got to be business-like, and it can't be – well, you know, we don't have any energy, anything like that. It's got to be the same way every time.
Yep. Definitely true.
That it does. Excuse me. A little yawn. So, you know, moving forward past that, and, you know, we look at, you know, we talk about the recruiting class and, you know, definitely finishing, you know, top 3, top 5, that maybe even number 1 if we get a couple of late. We're still in search of a quarterback, so
they've got a big timer from Maryland coming in next weekend.
Is this the Haskins guy?
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins.
Okay, because they just let the Louisiana guy go to what, Temple?
No, the kid from New Jersey, Russo.
I'm sorry. Okay, Russo. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Supposedly they visited with him. They never had an offer, but I think they were trying to figure out if they were going to offer or not. His recruitment's been really weird because Rutgers was his biggest offer by far, and he was an Elite 11 quarterback. But I think it was one of those things where he committed to Rutgers so early that other teams were like, well, then we're not going to go waste our time with him. And, you know, he decommitted. I think a couple of schools kind of came and looked at him. You know, one of the rumors was that he kind of told LSU, like, well, if y'all are going to take me, then you got to stop recruiting everybody else. And after what happened with Philippe Franks, LSU really can't afford to make that promise to anybody. You know, they've got to make sure they get somebody.
Yeah.
You know, they did that with Franks, and Franks burned them, so they can't really afford to call it without a quarterback in the finals.
Yeah, they've had quarterbacks tell them that. Maybe think back to Robert Lane. Yep. That was the same year. I think that was the year of Jamarcus Russell and Matt Flynn too.
Yep. Yeah, Matt Flynn committed really early, and then it was down to Lane and Jamarcus.
Yeah.
And the Lanes tried to say, if you recruit us, you can't recruit Jamarcus, and he was expected to be it. He ended up not
baseball.
Being drafted, I remember.
It was a baseball possibility with him, and LSU was like, no, you know.
LSU said, well, can you promise us that you won't play baseball if you get drafted? And he said, well, I can't promise you that. And so, okay, well, we got to get two quarterbacks. So,
you know, it's aggravating. These guys are coming out of high school now. They're being hyped up so much. I think hyped up too much now. They think that they're owning and dictating everything. You know what? I wish. And it'll never go back like this, but that the NCAA would go back and say, you know what, it is what it is. You know what, you don't want to play? We don't need you. Get out of here. You know, something like, just to kind of get things back in line. But these guys with these high-profile press conferences and everything else, hell, they think they're superstars coming out already. They ain't played a game in college yet.
Well, and then you got more and more, especially with quarterbacks, they don't want to sit and wait, which, you know, a big part of the problem LSU's had is that they haven't been able to just go through veteran guy to veteran guy. And that's what a lot of teams pull off. And that's why you see teams like Alabama taking these transfer kids, these graduate transfers, so they can get a kid who's played some games and been in a college system for a couple of years. And, you know, you're not going to some guy who's never taken a snap. You're not counting on, you know, new guys every couple of years, and you know, you get a chance to grow. I mean, back in the 90s, I remember Florida State when they had their best run. Every time they broke in a new quarterback, it was a guy who was like either a third year sophomore or a fourth year junior, or someone who'd been around, you know. And that's just a huge, and that's Baylor's been in the same boat too. They're able to just kind of transition from one guy who's been playing to another guy who's been his backup for a couple of years, and it's a big difference.
It's huge, you know, and you also wish, you know, Harris being a junior this year, if you can get a quarterback in there, in the system for a year, you maybe redshirt him in the system for a year or two, you're in that mode at that point. Then you got Harris, because Harris isn't going anywhere after his junior year. Hell, unless he has just somehow, you know, an epiphany some kind of way and just says it's something crazy happens. I mean, he's going to be around for a senior year, so therefore you can develop that second guy, and he steps in as a sophomore, plays sophomore, junior. You don't need a – I hate to say it. The way LSU's offense is designed, and the most successful teams haven't been a superstar quarterback. It's been a guy that's solid, managed the game, you know, good enough, has a good enough arm to get the out pattern, things like that. But he's not the guy that everybody's keying on.
Yeah. I mean, that's been Alabama's MO, and they've had guys that, you know, AJ McCarron kind of grew through the years and was, you know, pretty good by the end of it. And then, you know, Blake Sims had been his backup for 3 years. So, you know, a lot was made of, they tried him at some other positions because they thought he was good enough. They basically said, well, you're too good to keep off the field, so let's move you around. But he was always their backup quarterback. So then they go to him. And then when they go to Coker, you know, he'd been at Florida State for 3 years, and then he'd been at Alabama for 2 years by that point. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a big luxury. And then even this year, either they go to the Cooper Bateman kid who started a game for him this year, or they go to, you know, they've got three or four other guys who've been around, or they've got whoever the new, you know, big recruit is.
Yeah, all guys who are in the mix as far as because they remember they were going into the second or third week of August, they didn't know who their starting quarterback was. You remember that?
No, in fact, Booker was benched. Remember that?
He was benched in the Ole Miss game.
Yeah. So, it's program guys is kind of what you're pointing towards too, Billy. I know what you're talking about. You hear that a lot on local radio. Talking about guys who've been in the pro, like a Blake Sims, a guy who's like LSU had that with Matt Flynn.
And then with you saw Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee improve by their senior years and play better than they had.
Yeah.
You know, they still weren't great, but they were certainly better than they'd been.
They were getting the job done in that season. It was, a lot of other factors. I'm not gonna go dive into 2011 all over again, but there was a time after Jordan Jefferson came off his suspension, when Jarrett Lee was playing well and they were complimenting each other very well. It's something that LSU just needs to kind of get back to a little bit, and then,
there was a discussion of whether or not they should go get Trevor Knight from Oklahoma, and it's like, no, that doesn't really. For one, he's not better than Brandon Harris. His 1 year starting at, he was mediocre playing in the Big 12, and then, you need to get a high school guy so that when Brandon Harris leaves, you have Justin McMillan. Mm-hmm. Whoever the quarterback is in the next class, and a third guy to transfer, play, so that you need somebody who, some competition and a couple of guys who have been around for a year or two.
Is Danny Etling just a guy that's going to give him depth, and that's about it? You expect him to do?
I think if he wows them in the spring, I think he could, but he's only got one more year, so I think if he were to wow them or something like that, but he's mostly just going to be a depth guy, I think. I would be surprised if he came out and took the job.
Yeah, and you
can use more quarterback depth. That's why you take a kid like that. And if they take the two-lane kid, it's kind of the same deal. It's you get another guy who's taken actual college snaps. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't cost you anything. It's not like if there's a salary cap that you can that they're taking up space,
True.
Yep, that is true. And what is the status on John David Moore? I know he was a walk on. Was he a senior? Was he? I don't even know.
No, he was only a sophomore, so they should have him.
Okay. Okay. Because you definitely saw the running game take a dip, a small dip, albeit.
When he got injured,
he was awesome. Yeah. He was awesome that first part. That first half of the season, he was awesome before he got hurt.
And they're still waiting to see if they can get another year out of Dylan Gordon too.
That's true. Yeah. Well, then he was the one that got stabbed, right?
Just recently, a couple weeks ago,
or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Some kind of fight in Tigerland.
Yeah. Was he?
They said it was. I think the police described it as not really a stabbing so much as
a cut.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he facing disciplinary action, or was he?
I don't think so, because I think it was. Okay. It was. Not a he went and started it or anything. I don't know, but that's my understanding. Okay.
Yeah. Getting an extra year for him will be pretty good, because he was also pretty pivotal in that running game early on as the blocking tight end. So, yeah. Like you said, man, 18 starters back, you get a couple of key returners back, here and there, and
the freshman that can come in and play will play well. And
yeah,
it sets up to be well there in front of him.
Yeah, and people said, at the end of last year, a couple of years down the road, and the way they started out in 2015. We'll see. So I'm all hunky-dory, optimistic again. So we'll see.
Well, we got spoiled with the 7 wins in a row. I mean, it really shouldn't have happened that way. I mean, we knew before the season, we said it wasn't going to be like that. All of a sudden it did, and we've had, LSU fans, hell, we're going to go off the deep end. Oh, yeah, we're the best in the nation. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all of a sudden, you come back to reality, and the sky's falling.
Yeah,
I think it was kind of, in a way, when I look back on it now, it's kind of almost unfair a little bit to the coaching staff and Miles, because we weren't expected to do that to start the year.
Well, you didn't. Everybody thought. I think Auburn would be a tougher game early on, being so bad, kind of. It masked some things, and it set up. I mean, that was the big question: was can you get out of Auburn and Mississippi State with two wins? Because you knew October was going to be a workable schedule.
Yeah,
because you knew South Carolina wasn't going to be very good, and
you end up getting that game. You end up getting that game at home anyway. So as luck has it, You know, but it's a situation where it's, you know, and I'm definitely, you know, I've been, you know, I like to consider myself, I try not to go too far off the cuff one way or the other, and I try to stay within reason at certain things. I mean, there's certain things we could always see to improve, but I think at the end of the day, it was, which way it transpired, I think it was probably the right move to retain Miles. You know,
well, the way it played out, it's hard. You know, everybody was talking about Jimbo Fisher, and I had heard a lot of the same things. But, you know, you look at, like, you know, you compare it to, like, say, the way things played out at Georgia with Rick. If you can't get firing a coach right, why would I believe you're going to get hiring a coach right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you probably would. Given how things played out, it probably would have wound up being a bigger mess.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out and you think you have an agreement in principle with Jimbo and you fire Miles and he reneges, Jimbo, yeah. I mean, then you stuck with your thumb up your ass, and, you know, like you said, if they couldn't hire the firing properly, you know, and I think LSU fans, especially the old guard of LSU fans, have the height of the 90s weighing heavily on their mind, thinking, oh, we can't go back to what we looked like in the 90s. We can't go back to Curly. You know, that's what you hear from the old guard. And the new guard is, you know, it's Nick Saban in Alabama. Got to beat Nick Saban in Alabama. So you have this mix of old guard versus new guard as far as LSU fans go. And it's like this crazy, you know, this crazy world where
people have it in their heads that LSU can just go out and do what Alabama's done.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is historical by even their standards. I mean, four titles in 7 years hasn't happened since the 1940s.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the new guard talking. That's that new LSU fan that's come in the last, you know, I guess 10 to 15 years. You know, you get the younger students who are now, you know, alumni, probably in their mid to late 20s.
They don't know any better than the success we had.
Right, yeah. Then you got the old guard who, you know, who sat through the 90s and sat all that. And I think that weighs on my mind, too. You're thinking about, you know, we cannot just, people are fearful of going back to the days of Curly and the last couple of years of DiNardo. And I think LSU's got too much, as far as putting in place, as far as TAF and boosters, that I don't think we can, but it's not impossible because we've seen, you know, Tennessee, you know, fired Philip Fulmer, and they're still trying to get out of the rut. They're going 6-6, 7-5 every year since then. Yeah. And, you know,
you look at what Georgia did, and you fired a coach to replace him with Kirby Smart, and say, right, Kirby Smart goes 9-3, and well, guess what? You're already going 9-3.
Yeah.
So So, you know, it's hard to take that step up and you know, a couple of the national guys have pointed out, like, stop trying to be Nick Saban. There's only one Nick Saban. And, you know, these schools are hiring his assistants, and we're seeing, you know, over and over again that it's kind of like with the NFL and Bill Belichick. It's like there's Bill Belichick and there's guys that have worked for him, but they're not Bill Belichick. So don't hire them thinking that's what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just go out and do what they do.
No, you can't. And I think the fact that Muschamp was a Saban disciple is the only reason he got another job, another chance. And I think that could be the worst head coaching hire I might have seen in some time. I don't get that hire by South Carolina at all.
Very odd.
Well, they couldn't get anybody to go there.
I like Will a lot. But,
yeah, oh yeah, me too. I mean, I think some guys are meant to be coordinators, some guys are meant to be head coaches. I don't think he's one of them. I think he's meant to be a coordinator. He's too fiery. He's too emotional.
Like I would have, if he continued to do well as a coordinator and had a couple of years to kind of have some distance from it. But he was just at Florida 2 years ago.
I'm with you on that one. So, were there any other beside him and Smart? Was there any other new hires? I'm trying to think.
Auburn's had a bunch of staff turnover.
I was thinking in terms of head coaches. I was just thinking head coaches.
We had staff turnover. I mean, if you want to talk about something interesting or that's out of the ordinary, you know, look at Texas A&M's quarterback situation, you know, things like that. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, that's when people say, like, well, why does LSU always have these problems? Like, other schools have problems. We just don't notice it because we're so focused on LSU.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah, without question. Without question.
And you look at what's happened with A&M. I mean, from, you know, they've had three since Johnny Football, they've had three different guys now who were supposed to be the next big thing. And now all three of them are not on their roster after a year. You know?
Yeah, and after two solid starts back-to-back years, A&M's going, what, 75?
Yeah, and he's on the hot seat now after a big contract.
Two years ago, they were like, "Man, we gotta lock this guy up because the NFL is gonna take him." And I wouldn't touch someone with a 10-foot pole. I mean, I don't think. I mean, he's living off the Johnny Football fame, and then
he fell into the right spot at the right time.
They just hired an offensive coordinator who has washed out at two other SEC schools. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting year next year. I mean, I think obviously coming out of the bowl season, you got a lot of teams with a lot of hope, especially the SEC West, which has obviously reasserted its dominance, so to speak, minus A&M. Like I say, with all the returners LSU's got, everything Alabama's going to have, Ole Miss is hyped up there, it's going to be one heck of a year next year, you know, barring injuries.
I think
you point to. I can't remember if Arkansas's quarterback's coming back or not.
No, he's not. Arkansas loses a lot.
They do,
and that's a good thing because he was a good quarterback. I liked him a lot.
Brandon Allen, yeah.
Good. He's another guy you look to, and you know his sophomore year statistics is very similar to Brandon Harris. So you know, maybe he can similar. He just got better. Like he wasn't a world beater, but he just improved. Kind of the way you would expect a college player to improve. Just got a little bit better every year, and by his senior year, he was pretty good.
And he was commanding the offense. It wasn't a matter of, okay, what do I do? He knew, and that's the biggest thing for a college quarterback is, I'm not looking to the sideline for everything, tell me what to do. I can walk out there if we're in a situation and say, this is what we need to do.
Yeah. And you saw that with Zach Mettenberger, his senior years. He could come up and, you know, okay, they got single coverage on Jarvis. I'm a throw to Jarvis. They got single coverage on Odell. I'm a throw to Odell. They got the safeties back. Well, here, I'm going to run it with Jeremy Hill. You know,
even if Harris picks up that one thing where he can recognize the single coverage, because Lord knows he's got receivers. He's got some talent out there.
He's got plenty of arm, too.
Yeah, that's just putting in the work. That's just putting in the offseason work. So, and that's what you hope happens. So we'll see.
Just have to wait and see.
We shall see. So, moving on real quick. Well, I guess we'll talk. We got to talk a little bit about LSU. We very rarely bounce off of LSU football and talk about anything else here, unless we're talking about recruiting about LSU football. But if y'all watch much basketball so far, I mean, this is probably the most basketball I've watched probably since the 06 season. You know. And I hope LSU finds it somewhere and runs through the SEC and goes on a little bit of a streak, because I hate to see Ben Simmons not in the NCAA tournament. I don't know what y'all feelings are on that, if y'all want to talk about that or not.
But it would definitely be, you know, a crime and a shame if they don't make it. But, you know, beating Arkansas, even though the game was, you know, kind of lethargic, still you find a way to win. You just kind of keep surviving in advance at this point, you know.
I think if
they can beat A&M, they'll be in first place.
To our season is beating A&M. That going to Florida thing, that was a tough gig. You're coming off two games that are rough. You go to Florida, you know, that's just always been a tough place for us to play, regardless. You know,
Florida's not what they were, but they're not bad either.
No.
Yeah, they were playing pretty decent. Yeah.
You know, we get a little foul trouble early. It doesn't help.
And then you go, and then you got games. You start out SEC play at Vandy, then home to Kentucky, and then it was at Florida. So you're thinking, okay, if you can win two out of these three, you're doing all right. Well, guess what? They won two out of the three.
Yeah, they ran the gauntlet, so to speak.
Yeah. So you like to see them. You like to see them after they beat Kentucky go ahead and parlay it into a victory, but. You know, you learn from that loss. You get battle tested. Hopefully you go on the road. And you got back to back road games now. One of them against the best team in the conference to this point, A&M, And I don't know who they play on Saturday. I just know they're home next week to Georgia back on the 26th. I can't think who the weekend game is this coming weekend, but I know A&M's Tuesday night. So you win that game on the road, and
they got Oklahoma at the end of the month.
And Oklahoma at the end of the month. So if you can go on a little run and close out January, you can go in February with hopefully only one or two conference losses. Your chances are better. You know,
you just need to get that RPI up, the key.
Yeah,
they'll be in good shape if they can.
Yeah.
If they can do that, just take it one game at a time. That's all they can do.
Yeah, just make some freaking free throws. So,
I need to get going soon.
Okay, no problem. We're right at about an hour. We're gonna wrap it up. A little postseason wrap up of football, and I'm sure we'll come back. Recruiting National Signing Day is on February 3rd.
Getting close.
Yep. Actually, it's actually the Wednesday before the Super Bowl. It's always usually the Wednesday after the Super Bowl, but the way the schedule falls with the Super Bowl being always the first Sunday in February, and so it just so happens that Signing Day is that Wednesday, and Super Bowl follows after that because it's the 7th. Hopefully they can find that quarterback they're looking for and wrap it up good. Hopefully get good news from Beckwith officially, sometimes early this week and move forward, because they all got to make the decisions about, what, the 22nd? As far as declaring for the draft?
The 18th.
Oh,
the 18th
it is deadline. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the deadline, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
so we'll know something tomorrow. So,
we'll know something tomorrow.
If you get out and you only lose one underclassman, that's, and you return at 18 starters, that's awesome. So, See what happens. Well, anyway. Well, good little wrap-up show. Billy, thanks for joining us today, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Patrick Moore is hanging out, as always. Podcat doing the editing, pushing other buttons, editing out my wife's cursing. And that's it. It's the Go Show, original LSU podcast. Hopefully we will see y'all in about 3 weeks to talk some recruiting, which hopefully is a good sign today for LSU. And until then, hopefully LSU basketball keeps on winning. Chris Blair fixing to make his debut with LSU baseball kicking off. Well, first pitch in about, a month. They usually start around Valentine's Day, mid-February, something like that. So,
yep.
Cool things on the horizon. Keep us busy until spring football and then fall practice, and do it all again next fall. So, all right, fellas. Well, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. Go Show. We're done. Bye-bye.